The scripture this evening is John 19:25-30. In your pew Bibles, it is pages 1312. I am reading from the Revised Standard Version. So the soldiers did this, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A bowl full of vinegar stood there. So they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And we all wept. Jesus set in motion a series of events that would change the world. His notoriety had spread in 3 years of teaching, performing miracles, and flying in the face of established authority when he felt people were suffering. He was beloved by many, but misunderstood, hated, and feared by some, and some who were in power. As we entered the Lenten season this year, you have heard about the tangible elements of blood, oil, wine, and water poured out to give us a glimpse into the drama of Holy Week. I will share with you this evening the element of the tears of sorrow, lament, and eventual joy. David prays to God from Psalms. I'm going to read it from the original one here. Psalms 56:8. Thou hast kept count of my tossings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Put my tears into thy bottle. The tears which I shed in my wanderings. That's what he said. Let them be remembered by thee as if they were gathered up and placed in a bottle. Well, as I have researched for this element, the tears in the Bible, and yes, I have used the internet, as well as a good old book called Where to Find It in the Bible, and a few other sources, I have found many references to tears. In fact, one source indicated that there are 677 references and verses for tears in the scriptures. They were tears of repentance, grief, sin, and sorrow. Weeping was more frequently associated with mental distress rather than physical pain. Eastern peoples show none of the restraint of emotion and lamentation characteristic of modern Occidentals, and many records of this manifestation of woe, even among men, accustomed to hardship and warfare. For instance, David and his soldiers shed a flow of tears, evidence of sorrow in prospect of approaching death, from Psalms 39:12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. It is not wrong to weep. David wept. Nature prompts us to weep, and it cannot be wrong. To weep is our eye poured out. It's tears unto God, from Job 16:20. My friends scorn me, my eye pours out tears to God. Jesus wept, Luke 19:41. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace." In the ancient times, a bottle, perhaps like this, was probably made of skin or terracotta and called a lacrimatory. I'll spell that for you. It was a new word to me. L-A-C-H-R-Y-M-A-T-O-R-Y, lacrimatory. The custom was to collect the tears shed during a time of calamity and sorrow and preserving them in a small lacrimatory as a memorial of the grief. The Romans began the custom that in a time of mourning on a funeral occasion, a friend went to one in sorrow and wiped away the tears from the eyes with a piece of cloth and squeezed the tears into a small bottle of skin or terracotta, which was carefully preserved as a memorial of friendship and respect. Sometimes women were even paid to cry into the vessels as they walked along the mourning procession. Those crying the loudest and producing the most tears received the most compensation. To this day, many lacrimatories can be found in ancient Roman tombs. Salt was used in the ancient world for preservation and healing, and thus became an element in rituals of covenant making and healing as well. The salty tears cried by those closest to Jesus are part of the connection we all have to loving deeply. Pain and despair can seem to overwhelm in the face of tragedy, but because we believe that Christ's resurrection is also our own, we also know that tears of joy are not far behind. As God makes all things new, lament can turn to praise, and tears can turn to dancing. With all of the 677 references to tears in the scriptures, it seems only appropriate to mention Revelations. You know, we gotta get to the end. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And in Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Maybe explore, as I did, the many verses of Lamentations, sorrow, tears poured out from the prophets in the Old Testament, and for in the New Testament for the crucifixion of our Savior Jesus Christ, and then the saving grace for our souls. Please join us next Wednesday to learn more about the elements that were poured out for us, the element of light. On Maundy Thursday, March 28th, join us for a reenactment of the Last Supper, and then on Good Friday, March 29th, come and experience these elements as told by those who were there, the elements of blood, oil, wine, water, tears, and light.